To, of course, 11 minutes past 5 o'clock. You guys are still tuned into Everyday People with myself, Lerato Mashile. First hour of the show done and dusted, and now we get to my favorite part of the show, where we speak to our guests, where we get educated, but most importantly, have these conversations that we don't always want to have, man. I know some of these conversations are very difficult, but it's beautiful because you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with us right here on Everyday People. But of course, I can't do this by myself. I'm joined by, of course, specialist surgeon, the one and the only Dr. Fatima Hussein. Hi, Doc. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you so much to you and your listeners for having me.
Absolutely an honor to be having you. I know that you're busy. It's been, you know, gearing up for the 4th of February. And I can imagine the madness that comes with all of that. But it's a beautiful thing because we get to have these conversations that we don't always have time to dissect. But let's lay out the red carpet so people understand exactly what we're talking about and what the 4th of February actually is all about. Now, according to the South African Journal for Oncology, the incidences of cancer is on the rise in South Africa as well as globally, with a total number of cases just less than doubling between 2019 and 2030, from approximately 62,000 to 121,000 incident cases. The 2019 National Cancer Registry estimates that one in every 27 women are at risk of being diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. Now, with the 4th of February being recognized as World Cancer Day, we are joined by Dr. Fatima Hussein, who is a specialist surgeon with an interest in breast, thyroid, as well as parathyroid health, as well as soft tissue surgical oncology. Now, first and foremost, Doc, the pandemic has opened our eyes to the need to pay attention to not only our mental well-being, but also our physical health, especially in a world that's always on the go. But I'm interested in finding out, what are some of the conversations that we are now having that we weren't having? And most importantly, how have they also impacted how we view health from a societal point of view, as well as from the healthcare industry?
I think the question is mostly about the pandemic and what influence it has kind of on how we look at cancer. Mm. I think what it definitely taught us during that period was we spent so much time alone at home, or, I mean, with our families at home. We had time to actually concentrate on our bodies and get in touch with that. So a lot of people found things that maybe they weren't looking for, or started new routines that they weren't necessarily doing before. And in that process, started picking up new lesions, lumps, bumps, or maybe just abnormalities, because they're actually paying attention to what's happening to their bodies. And so probably after the pandemic, people started looking for help about these problems. They're not going away. What is this actually? Maybe I should just get it checked out. The other thing about what the pandemic actually did was it made us really aware that health issues actually affect everybody. So I think our health seeking behavior changed a little bit. Yes, some people became like really frightened to go to hospitals and things like that, especially during the pandemic. But once it was over, I think they realized actually disease can affect anyone. So maybe if I have a problem, it's actually okay to go and look for help. So now we're seeing a lot more people who didn't necessarily go for routine screening or go for investigations, and now they're coming. Definitely. And now our pickup rate for diseases is increasing, which maybe perhaps prior to the pandemic, we weren't necessarily seeing that.
That is so true. And you mentioned something so important about the fact that we got still and actually, you know, started focusing, because a lot of the times, you know, we always kind of forget. Like I said, we were always on the go, but now we're reprioritizing our health. But even with that need, we cannot deny that cancer is still such a huge concern. As South African Journal Oncology forecasted a doubling of the cancer cases in South Africa, which raises concerns now then. What are we getting wrong? What are the contributing factors? Is it something in the air? Is it just like, what am I doing wrong that could be increasing my chances? Let me put it like that.
Well, there's a lot of factors that influence your cancer risk. Nowadays, I mean, just on my way here, I'm just explaining, looking at the amount of traffic. We are, and if you look at the cars around you, it's always just one person in the car. We don't walk anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't exercise a lot anymore. So exercise, they've shown, decreases, improves your health, first of all, has significant health benefits, and does reduce your risk of cancer to a certain degree. Mm. We are so stressed, we're so busy, we eat a lot more takeouts, get home late, wake up early in the morning. What are you eating for lunch? Nobody really has time to make a healthy, concentrate on those health aspects. So our diet is really poor as well. Sure. And a healthy diet, they've shown as well, definitely contributes to your cancer risk. So improving your health from that perspective also helps. Mm. And stress, if you just look at our stress levels, it's incredible. We stress, we work so hard and stress ourselves so much. Mm. That takes a massive toll on your body, on your mental health, on your physical health, on your emotional health. Sure. So basically, even if you get a disease, you are so
fixated with everything else. That
with everything else. Okay, what's going to happen to my work? What's going to happen to my finances? What's going to happen to this? It does play a massive role in your health-seeking behavior. And the stress on its own does increase your risk of cancer. I mean, this, it's not easy to reduce your stress levels, but there are things that we can start putting into place that takes out a little bit more time for you.
Okay.
Reduce your stress level. Start focusing a little bit more on your own health. Mm. And then things like weight. We would tell patients, try to achieve your ideal weight. Very easy to say, not so easy to do.
Listen, you're preaching to the choir right now.
If you're at your lucky enough to be at your ideal weight, then try to maintain it. Mm. And then obviously, if there is diseases that you are at risk, know what diseases you are at risk for. So, I mean, talk to your families about what did this person die of. So you can have a good idea of what your risk is like for specific things. Mm. And then get the right health-seeking behavior. So get screened for things that you are at risk for. People don't know, a lot of people don't know that over 40 you should start going for colonoscopies, or over 40 you should start going for mammograms and ultrasounds, screening for screening like that. Mm. Or for men, get a PSA test to check on your prostate. These are things we don't talk about. These are things we like to put at the back. Ah, it's not going to ever happen to me. So
that's true. And I think also the physical aspect of it, it's so easy to diagnose it if there's physical or tangible proof type of thing. But when it's happening in your body, I think that's also another reason why we kind of, I would say another reason why we don't really take it into cognizance, because if I don't see my nails happening, if I don't see a change, if I don't see a change in my body, then I'm still fine. I look fine, so there's no need. Exactly. But it's beautiful to see, you know, that we're breaking down that stigma and saying that, listen, it's all about making sure that you're holistically okay, because it applies into your everyday life. But for someone who's not familiar, I mean, we've spoken about the broad aspect, but let's break it down, especially to someone that's listening to this and still doesn't understand what exactly is cancer in layman's terms.
Well, it's the abnormal or unregulated growth of abnormal cells. That's it. And there are multiple different types of abnormal cells. Then you're going to be like, what's the difference between a benign thing and a malignant thing? Or people always like, but now is all things cancer?
Sure.
It's not. Benign growths, they don't interfere with the surrounding tissue.
Okay.
When we talk about cancers, they are invasive creatures. They are like leeches. They need their own blood supply because they need nutrients, and they invade the space of the normal structures. Mm. So they can invade muscle, they can invade blood vessels, they can invade bone. And the most important thing is they have the ability to send those abnormal cells to other organs.
Sure.
So that's what differentiates a benign abnormal growth tissue from a cancerous abnormal growth.
And now what then becomes some of the misconceptions when it comes to cancer? As you said that, you know, we always have this thing of everything probably causes cancer, from the food to the screen time. So what are some of the misconceptions when we come to cancer?
I think the biggest one that I see in my work is that cancer only happens to old people. And it doesn't. Actually, just looking at breast cancer, which is where I work the most, the median age at which breast cancer occurs is around 62, which means half of breast cancer diagnoses occur in women under the age of 62.
Sure.
Which is an incredible amount. And even if you look at that age of 62, I know for a 20-year-old, 62 sounds really old.
Yeah.
But wait till you're 62. Mm. You actually are still, a lot of 62-year-olds are still really functional. Some of them are still working. Actually, a lot of them are still working. Some of them may just be going into their retirement. Mm. Now's the time when you want to go to Thailand and all over the place and enjoy your retirement. So it's actually pretty young.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's actually incredibly young. So that's a huge misconception.
Mm.
And the second one is that if it only happens if it's in your family. Mm. That's the one other one I see a lot. Yeah. If you're, how can it happen to me? I don't. There's nobody in my family that has breast cancer. Mm. And the thing is, yes, it's a majority of. It's only 5 to 10% of breast cancers are actually genetically linked, which means the majority of cases are actually sporadic. It will just happen. You've not done anything wrong. You've not necessarily eaten anything wrong. You're not. Your life isn't wrong. It just has happened to you. It's a process that unfortunately has selected you. Mm. And there's a lot of misconceptions like that. Under 40, I don't need to worry about my breasts. I don't need to examine. Breast cancers don't happen in pregnant women. A very, very bad misconception.
Sure.
All lumps under 40 are benign. That's not true. Lumps are far more common in women under the age of 40. Mm. Our breasts are constantly changing during our menstrual cycle, and then obviously lumps will form or disappear. But if you see how many of those lumps are actually cancerous lumps, it's an actually incredible amount. So we tell our patients any new lump that has been there for longer than a month or that is growing, it's not improving, it's causing any symptoms, nipple changes, dimpling, thickening of the skin associated with other lumps under your armpit, go and see a doctor immediately. Don't wait till it's a big problem. When it's a small problem, it's far easier to treat and it has a much better prognosis.
Listen, if you've just tuned in, we are speaking to, of course, Dr. Fatima Hussein, talking to us about all things cancer as we gear up for World Cancer Day, but most importantly, about the importance of taking care of your breasts. It's all about making sure that, you know, we fix it, or most importantly, make sure that, you know what to do in order to make sure that you prevent it as best as possible. As we always say, that prevention is better than cure, but it all starts with you and making sure that you know what is happening when you have anything that is abnormal or uncomfortable as well, because as you mentioned, you know, the misconceptions. But we want you to be part of all this conversation and more. All you have to do is send in your WhatsApps on our WhatsApp line on 061-862-1065. 061-862-1065. Now, speaking about breast health, you made mention of some of the symptoms to look for. So please just break it down to someone that just heard what we're talking about right now. What do I need to be checking when it comes to making sure that my breasts are healthy?
So I will generally tell, for example, every month, once a month.